as the left and the right come together and unite around the craziest fake suicide in the history of fake suicides. Rejoice, America. We're coming back together. Let the healing begin. I'm in a great mood. I was joking about this last night. You're listening to the Loftus Party. I imagine you found this on the interweb of things, and you've downloaded it, or you're streaming it, so you know where you are. It's the Loftus Party podcast. Myself, Michael Loftus, and we have across this great nation of ours. I don't know where she set up camp this week, but the Liberty Gypsy is on the other end of the Skypeinator.
Hello.
Hello. That was the Seinfeld hello. I'm in a very good mood. It's been a very busy week, and we just got to start the Epstein thing. We could probably do the whole show on it. I don't want to bore you guys too terribly much. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a funny show. But some of the things we're gonna be talking about today, of course, Epstein. And then of course we're gonna talk about red flag laws and that movie, The Hunt. And there's a show on Amazon, The Boys, I've been watching, and Anthony Scaramucci. Well, there's so much.
Yeah, I missed the whole Scaramucci thing.
So. Oh, we'll delve into that later. We got to spend some time. It was too funny. Okay, so here's what's going on. So, lots going on over at theloftusparty.com. Lots of great posts, and I did a spot on Tucker Carlson, which was great. Of course, here's what happens. Like, I'm
you
happy
never
to
get
be,
to be on Tucker when Tucker's on.
He was on. He was.
He
hosting.
Was. No yeah. way.
But it must be vacation week over at Fox News, because he recorded very early, and then I think he was skedaddling. Same thing with Kilmeade. I was on Fox and Friends the other day, and then they asked me to be on Kilmeade's radio show, but he had already skedaddled. He had a guest host, so I think everybody's like getting in their last holiday travel. So I never get the tweet from Tucker. I never get the seal of approval. But it was right. It was a fun spot. That dude.
What did you talk about on Tucker?
Oh my good, I can't even remember. I can't even remember. There's been so many. I just started a new notebook. I ran out of space in my comedy notebook. I could go through. I could find it. But isn't that sad? I don't even remember what the heck I was talking about. But anyway, and then doing shows down at Comedy and Magic Club. If you're ever in the Southern California area, you got to go down to Comedy and Magic Club. It's one of the best comedy clubs in the country, one of my favorites. And it actually is, this is also the 5-year anniversary of Robin Williams passing. Woo! I mean, no, my wife just handed me money, so I went. So I said, "Woohoo! I'm not happy. Robin Williams is dead."
Thanks, Pam. That could have been misconstrued.
Right. She just came over and just gave me some cash, I guess for services rendered. And but yeah, so there's a nice little story about Comedy and Magic and Robin Williams, and it'll make you feel good, and it'll make you miss him a little bit more. That actually, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So I go down there. And they know that I lean to the right. They know that I'm a small government guy. They know that I voted for Trump. They know that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And usually, there's a couple comics I've seen down there. They kind of give me the side eye. Like, I can tell that they've changed their estimation of me. Mm-hmm. However, in a very, oh, yeah, man. There's this British dude, very funny guy, really funny guy. And he was complaining about all the dumb people in England who voted for Brexit. And then I went on stage and I'm like, I was just so pro Brexit. So
hey,
I'm sure
Brexit
that was shocking
is awesome.
I swear. So that was weeks ago. So here's the wonderful thing about the Jeffrey Epstein situation. We'll call it a situation right now. Everyone's uniting around this. Like even the people, the biggest liberals on planet Earth, and my comedian friends who lean to the left, we're all just like, okay, that is just beyond belief. Like, everyone, seriously, I was halfway joking that it's uniting the country, but it really is. There's like, some people are going, oh yeah, well, this is the Trump administration. They act like Trump was the prison guard. They act like William Barr was the prison guard. And then you've got the right looking at the Clintons, you got the left looking at Trump, and then you've got, like, no one's looking at the royal family. Right? But it's like, my joke last night is like, there's just like, of the list of suspects in this thing, there'd be like a line of assassins out the door. There'd be, well, like,
we don't even know who all of them are.
I swear. But I just, like, I'm looking outside, like, in my little comedic picture, you've got the jail cell, and then there's like just a line of assassins. This is a guy, go, yeah, I'm here because Prince Andrew sent me. I'm supposed to kill this guy, make it look like suicide. Oh, I'm here because the Clintons sent me. I'm supposed to make it look like suicide. Oh, I'm sent here because Hollywood sent me. It's supposed to make it look like suicide. Oh, I'm here because the Saudis sent me. It's like everybody had a reason to want this dude dead. And now it's just like, who done it and how far. It's great because everyone is hip to it now. Everyone is hip to it now. And I just want to see how far this thing goes. Like, I'm so locked into the conspiracy theory of the whole thing. Like, I don't see it at all. I want to make sure the body is actually Epstein. That's how deep I go. I will own it. I will own up to it right now. I want a DNA test on the body, and I want that to be, I want it to be live. I want to see a fingernail or a piece of hair get clipped, and it goes into the little tube and the burner, and then they swirl the juice around and they put it into the big machine, and yeah, because
they've had time to reconstruct a face by now, so even that isn't going to do it.
I am not even lying. Like, I'll tell you right now. I have some very good friends of mine, some close associates who are into the whole Q thing, right? Mm-hmm. That thing on Twitter, QAnon, and it's all these secret coded messages, and it's like a fortune teller, right? It's all kind of loosey-goosey, and you can kind of reverse engineer it to make it make sense. And the thing that I like about Q, and I'm being completely honest here, is that it'll ask questions, and then you, as a private citizen, can go looking for your own answers. You do research. You are there. You're inquisitive, and you're like a citizen journalist. So I don't see the downside to Q. But here's the freaky thing about it: there was a Q post a while back talking about, you know, Epstein's not going to make it. You know, the thinly veiled, he's going to get whacked. And they're like, it'll be during a blackout or something like that. It was like loosey goosey. But like, then they started having those blackouts in New York, and you're like, whoa, what the heck? And then there was the first failed suicide attempt. The first failed.
The officials never confirmed if that's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anonymous sources did to, you know, really stellar newspapers like the New York Times, and everybody seems to have taken that opinion, but there was no prison official or anybody in charge that ever confirmed that that was a suicide attempt.
I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard anything about it. However, I remember seeing Ann Coulter's tweet, which Ann Coulter cracks me up. I really enjoy her. But she said something to the effect of, like, no, get him to a supermax right now, round the clock. The dude's never left alone. There is no way. And of course, everybody's retweeting the hell out of that. So that
well,
we're supposed to...
Well, what I didn't realize about Anne,
because
in audio, she was actually living in Palm Beach when all of this went down originally, and she was one of the few people in the press that was actually talking about it.
So, oh, like, that she makes knows, sense.
Yeah, she knows. I listened to, gosh, she was probably on a podcast for about a half an hour, and she went back through the whole thing talking about the local PD, how they were all elected Democrats, and the only reason the FBI ever and the federal prosecutors ever got involved to begin with is because local police were taking no action.
Yeah.
And then he hired people to look into the cops that were, you know, investigating him, like, ruined people's lives. I mean, like, it was nasty. She was telling me some things I just had no idea about.
It's stunning. And I know that at face value, like, who's the district attorney or whoever was in charge of the case who's now like a Trump appointee.
Well, that was Alexander Acosta, but he has since resigned. But here's the other quote that nobody wants to talk about is when he was being confirmed, and this is in the transcripts of his Senate confirmation, they asked him about this sweetheart deal that was negotiated, and he basically told higher-ups in the government, told him, leave this guy alone, he's an intelligence asset.
Yeah.
Like, only thing I really want to understand about this whole thing, other than hoping that the victims get some justice, is what was he actually and where did his money come from? Because it wasn't hedge funding. It was not hedge funding.
Listen, I want to know it all. I want to know it all. And that's why I'm infuriated by the whole thing, right? Like, am I sorry he's dead? No. Am I sorry he's dead today? Yes. Like, he needed to live. He needed to live long enough to testify and name names. It's just too... I really believe it's like he's not the only. I don't think he's the only one. I don't think he's the only one. The majority, whatever. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I will entertain this notion. I'm very excited. I'm talking very fast. I'm all over the board. I seriously want to know if it's him because I'm a great. I read a lot of science fiction. I read a lot of like. Novels. I write stuff. I consider myself a creative person. Mm-hmm. Now, I have read more than one book where people who are convicted of crimes like this, they know they're going down, but they've got a lot of money. Obviously, this dude knew people. Obviously, he knew people. You know, the Clintons. He was hanging out with Prince Andrew. He was connected. Have you ever heard of a dead man switch?
No.
Okay. A dead man switch is like you can. It's like in the old movies. It's like, hey, just so you know, if anything happens to me, these letters are going to go to the New York Times, or this. If anything weird happens to me, the story will come out. Well, you can do a high tech version of that, where you can do like a collection of words. Like the collection of words in this case would be Epstein suicide, Epstein heart attack, Epstein stroke. You could just create, you could bundle those words and have like an automatic thing be triggered to it's a life insurance policy. It's the dead man switch. So if somebody heart attacks you or you finally find yourself the victim of a forced suicide, these stories come all the way out. The more I think about it, I'm seriously starting to like. Was it him in that cell? It's crazy. He couldn't have been a dummy. He couldn't have been a dummy to get away with this for as many years as he did. And there's a reason he got off scot-free. I find it terribly interesting. I feel sorry for the victims, but man, this is like a real life. Spy novel, murder mystery, craziness. Like I seriously want to know if that's him in that jail cell. That's how deep into it I am. I'm full tinfoil hat today, Gypsy.
Well, you know, here's my new rule, and I try to enact it about everything. I wait at least 72 hours.
That's what I try to do.
You think about it, yesterday. You know, there was a lot of stuff that came out with that was just flat out wrong. And even today, I don't trust it. I'm kind of waiting for Attorney General Barr and IG Horowitz. When they say they believe something, I'll believe it.
Well, it's now. I'm not getting enough information. I want to know. Where were the guards? You hear these rumors, like, and you can't confirm it, you know, like, oh, the camera malfunction. There was a camera malfunction or they lost the tape. I don't know if that's true or not. They need to find that out like yesterday. Like, where is the tape? Where is the tape? Who was the guards? And then I'm doing this, like, and this is straight to like, this goes back to the Tim Nolan or the Nolan version of Batman. Like the Joker, This, I know it sounds so crazy, but the Joker got into the Gotham City PD by holding family members of the Gotham City PD hostage. Right? It's like let's look at the guards' bank accounts. I'm gonna look out under every stone. America's so smart. We've seen so many movies. We've seen so many procedural things. I just don't see how it happens. I just don't see how it happens.
Well, I mean, right now they're basically saying it was negligence on the part of the prison staff. They were supposed to do stuff and they didn't do it. I guess he was supposed to get a roommate. I don't know what could be more dangerous than that. But I don't think he actually got one, at least according to the story I read. But I think the reason you're not getting any information is that some pretty high-level eyes are going to have to sign off on whatever information goes public and, like, kind of attest to the veracity of it before that happens.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I want to know how he supposedly killed himself. What with his pants, with a belt, with his shoelaces? What did he hang himself off of? What did he tie it to? I want to know all of it. All of it. I am putting on my total Sherlock Holmes hat. I'm in full detective mode on this one. But it's great to see America coming together about it. However, it's also a great, like, I don't know how the Twitter algorithm works. I really don't. But from my perspective, when you have like 89,000 tweets about Clinton body count going, and then you got like 5,000 tweets saying Trump body count, the fact, and it's the other great thing. Like, hopefully there's people on the left who are like Clinton body count. Hopefully they will Google that.
Right.
Hopefully they will do that. Oh my gosh. And then my buddy Terrence that got retweeted by the president yesterday. Terrence went like full on conspiracy theory. He went like, he did two videos about this. And his second one was like, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to know nothing about the Clintons because I don't want to end up dead. I don't want to see pictures of Hillary picking her nose. I don't care if Bill Clinton eat boogers. I don't want to know nothing because I don't want to, because we all know. And then he goes on to say, it's like, we all know who did this. We all know who did this. And then he actually says the Clintons did it and Trump retweeted it. I'm like, this has got to be like, I was so happy for Terrence, but then I was like, ugh. Is the president now in legal jeopardy? Are you allowed? I guess you got the First Amendment protection, but that's like, in a weird way. I found it very awkward. But the Jeffrey Epstein thing is it's bringing the country together. We're all healed. It's awesome to see. It's great to see all these people distrusting the government. It's wonderful to see all these people left, right, and center questioning how government works like this.
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, the liberals and the left have always been suspicious of the government until the Trump-Russia thing and Mueller, right? So maybe this will, like, poke them in the side and get them back on the side of, hey, guys, big government is bad.
Yeah. Hopefully it can. Yeah. Okay, so
but I mean, just the whole like tying Trump to this dude at this point, that was like pure happenstance and some casual context that happened because of high New York society. All those guys know each other. They all go to the same parties. It was not the same as traveling the globe with Bill Clinton, I promise you.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. It's like where I'm not even really sweating it because like it goes back to the Ann Coulter of it all. You've got that whole whole West Palm, that whole area, that little neighborhood. It's not that big, you guys. It's not that big, and you can go to these clubs. Like when I did stand up at Mar-a-Lago, here's this little club, and everybody goes there, and everyone knows everybody. So that Bill Clinton or rather Trump and Epstein were hanging out together. at social events? Yes, I'm sure. Are there pictures? Yes, I'm sure there are. Did Epstein ever claim to be the guy who founded the Trump Foundation? No, but he certainly did that with the Clinton Foundation. You have the flight logs of a bunch of trips that Clinton took, and there's the thing where once Trump found out what Epstein was up to and all about, he banned him from Mar-a-Lago. So he's like no mas, cut the dude out of his life. So I'm not worried about the Trump of it all, but hooey, it reeks to high heaven. It just reeks to high heaven.
TMZ just broke some news.
What do they got?
Jeffrey Epstein's death may never be conclusively determined because we're told standard practice in the area where he was detained is that cameras do not point inside the cells. Sources familiar with the correctional facility in question tell TMZ there are cameras in the special housing unit, but the SOP is that cameras do not point into the cells. Unless there's a one-off cell with the camera pointing inside, we're told there may have been rare situations where this is the case. The manner and time and manner of his death may never be known. Our sources did, however, make clear since Epstein was taken off suicide watch, there were plenty of ways he could have hung himself. There are sheets, blankets, t-shirts, and other objects, including beds, on which the items can be tied to facilitate suffocation. Our sources all agree on one thing. The fatal flaw was taking someone off suicide watch days after they believe he may have attempted to take his own life. It is baffling, disturbing, and suspicious that medical professionals and officials at the correctional center would clear someone as high-profile, notorious, and important as Epstein.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It's horrible. We got to go up the chain of command. Like, who told the, you know, the guard, who took him off suicide watch, who was in charge of this, who told that? It goes back to, it's also like the FISA thing, you know? You've got a person who normally is in charge of the FISA warrants, and then you investigate that person, and they go, hey, well, hold on a second. When this one came to me, it had already been signed off by people way above me. So there is a chain of command, and people have to sign stuff, and there's documents.
Mm-hmm. And that Bruce Orr's 302s.
Whoa.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Yeah, it's, I want to know all of it. I want to know all of it. Okay, so right now we are talking about red flag laws. This is the newest thing that has come up. This are common sense gun controls, and this is going to sound super hacky in a way. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here. Okay, we'll get into the red flag laws and all that stuff, and just how incredibly dangerous, in my opinion, those are. But I'm really, Trump is in a pickle here. Trump is in a pickle. He has to appear to do something. This is such
why.
Because I feel like it's a pretty good 1-2 punch. I always try to put myself in the other side's shoes.
Okay,
the Democrats are getting a lot of mileage. They're getting a lot of mileage out of El Paso. They're getting a lot of mileage out of Trump is a racist. He's a racist. He is a racist. And you already had Joe Biden saying that he's running to save the soul of America. It's not about our everyday lives. It's not about how much money or how much our personal freedoms are. This is now about the soul of America and getting a racist out of the White House. Now you add on, he's not only is he a racist, but he's going to let people just run around. He's giving them secret coded messages, and he's giving them the A-OK to start shooting people up. So it's a completely emotional argument, but right now, it's got some traction. So for the time being, Trump, he has to look like he's doing something. And let's not forget, here's another great unsolved mystery. The flipping Vegas shooter. Talk about cameras everywhere. Well, we never found out anything about the Vegas shooter. But after that event, Trump got rid of the bump stocks. He did. He's like, all right, bump stocks are gone. Those are gone. So
yeah,
he's got a track record.
Affected a limited number of people. That just didn't affect. They weren't something that sold a lot. They're now talking about banning all semi-automatic weapons. That's 90% of guns. Handguns, rifles, etc. That is not okay, and there's a reason to have a semi-automatic handgun if you're going to use it for self-defense, because as any firearms instructor will tell you, if you are going to pull out a gun, you better be prepared to lose it, and what you are told to do is empty the whole thing center mass.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the only Ooh, way you empty the whole thing, especially for women, you know, we don't have the same hand strength as men.
I am all for it. I am all for it. I'm just saying that, like, right now, Trump is kind of jammed up. And then ultimately,
I don't see him as jammed up. And I will make this argument to anybody. What did Obama do after the Pulse nightclub shooting? Nothing. What did he do after the cops were killed in Dallas? Nothing. What I mean, well, come on. Well,
the other thing, Obama didn't have the entirety of the mainstream media calling him a supervillain for doing nothing. So here's what I'm saying. Like, it's got to
be Cocaine Mitch then. Cocaine Mitch has to put an end to it.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. They have, and this is horrible for me to say, this is so nefarious and supervillain sounding. The trick is, it's you have to pretend like you're an agent in Hollywood or a movie producer. You have to give the illusion of work and then actually have no outcome. So it's going to be a little dance. It's going to be a little dance. And I think, this is just me thinking, if I'm Cocaine Mitch, here's what I do. I run the red flag laws up the flagpole. And here's why, because that one doesn't stand a chance. You go, here's what we're going to do. You go, red flag laws are an idea worth exploring. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about keeping guns out of the hands of mentally ill people. And so we start talking about red flag laws, and then the truth comes out that it's the worst idea ever. And then you're going to have neighbors it's just a horrible invasion of privacy. Anybody can accuse anybody of being crazy. Then you're guilty until proven innocent, just because your neighbor doesn't like the fact that you have a rifle. And so then the red flag laws will slowly go away. That's what I think the game, that would be my advice. That's my game plan, to create the illusion of work and have no outcome, because the red flag laws are a complete and total joke. Then they're a scary joke. They're completely, can you imagine if your neighbor could just call up the cops and say, hey, gypsy's crazy, go get her house. Do they still have to get a search warrant?
Or the crazy people you meet on social media?
Oh my gosh. The people who send me death threats because I'm telling jokes on Fox News. Like, all they have to do is just go, hey, there's a guy, Michael Loftus does his thing. He's a loose cannon. Go get him. And all of a sudden, I got a SWAT team kicking down my door in the middle of the night. And I'm a gun owner. Like, I'm surprised that doesn't happen every other day. Right. Like when the cops have the wrong house on the search warrant and they just go, blah, 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 and it's, oh, my gosh, there's already been a death. I think Connecticut has red flag laws. And the cop showed up to take away a gun from a Vietnam vet, and he's like, holy crap, somebody's breaking in. And so he started shooting at the cops, and they ended up killing him. They ended up killing this guy because of a red flag law. So they have no hope.
I mean, what I like is RAND.org, Objective Analysis and Effective Solutions. They did a gun policy research review. And they looked at 13 broad categories of gun legislation and their actual effect on violent crime, mass shootings, suicide, etc. Right?
Yeah.
There is the only thing they have talked about having a moderate impact on both suicide and violent crimes is background checks, which we already have. It's inconclusive on mass shootings. Right? I mean, like, there's nothing in here other than stand your ground laws, which means if you come into my house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I shoot you, I'm okay. They're like castle laws, right?
Yeah.
So that actually has a moderate effect on the reduction of violent crime. The ability to protect myself reduces violent crime.
Oh, goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. I want to say there's a guy by the name of John Lott. Really, fantastic. I interviewed him. I interviewed that guy a million years ago on the old Flipside TV show. Mm-hmm. And he talks about in England, they talk to people who are in jail for breaking and entering and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They don't case houses in England. They just find a nice house and they just roll up on it and break in and go. They don't even, but in America, they have to case the house. They want to make sure you're not going to be home mm-hmm. because you might be a gun owner and kill them. Exactly. It's a huge deterrent. But mm-hmm. to the red flag laws of it all, it's one of those things that, and this is it's a wonderful example of the different political belief system. Like you and I, we're small government people, and we're not into these mass shootings. So we want to find a way to actually do something about it. I think it goes to our humanity. It goes to not knowing what the people in your close-knit, the family unit. You don't know that you have a family member who's about to go off. I haven't heard anything from the El Paso shooter's family. I haven't heard anything
or
from the
Dayton
shooters.
The only thing we've heard is from their former school officials and some crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes to... I'm saying it's a breakdown of the human family. It's
a breakdown of the family. And you know what? You know what I love? I see conservatives tweeting out, 93% of mass shooters have a mental health history. You know what? It's closer to 100% for single parent, for single mother homes. So why don't we just put every boy raised by a single mother? Why don't we just red flag them all? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The number of boys raised in a single mother's home who do not become mass shooters far outweigh the number that do. And you know, the other thing that nobody is talking about is there are studies that when suicide is on the rise, mass shootings go up because that's called suicide by cop.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
rate has increased 30% since 2000. It is now the number two cause of death for kids between the ages of 10 and 34.
It's horrifying. And so what you have now is the liberals, the Democrats, they're proposing a solution that's going to be more bureaucracy. You're going to have to have people who monitor their bureaucracy and who's going to check out these laws and it's going to cost a fortune. It's going to add levels and levels of bureaucracy and red tape for mm-hmm. law abiding citizens to get a gun. There's a lot of money that is going to end up being involved, and it's not going to solve the problem.
Well, then
it's a giant spinning of the wheels. But then you've got like the simple solution is talk to your family members, like do something about the family unit. Have a two parent household. How about that? That costs nobody anything. Let's do that first. That's my solution.
Well, then you have complete disingenuous people like Andrew Cuomo doing things like suggesting a mental health registry. Who in the heck do you think is going to go get mental health services if they think you're going to end up on a list?
Yeah. Yes. It's crazy. It is straight up. Yeah. Get on the list. You must be on the list. Let's check. This is the government man coming. This is a spontaneous check to check your mental health. You're going through. They grab you out of work and make you take a test and then they put you on some crazy list? Right. No. No. And then let's not forget this. And this is it's a weird analogy, but just bear with me for a second. A good friend of mine, when I started doing comedy, it was with this guy. I'm not going to name his name. He attempted suicide. Listen, people who have plans like suicide or suicide by cop or mass shootings, all of this stuff, when they have plans like this, they can be very secretive. I don't know if there is any one like grand solution. This guy I knew really well, and he had tried to kill himself. It didn't work, thank God. And then all of his family and his friends, we all came. We were the support group, and he put on this air. He put on this fake personality that was just brilliant. No one could see through it. We all thought he genuinely had, you know, made a big change in his life, and now he wanted to live. And it was, turns out it was all a lie, and he ended up killing himself. He ended up doing it anyway. He just used different methods. And it's like, when you think about red flag laws, I would ask that you think about Robin Williams. Today's, as we record this, this is the 5th year anniversary of Robin Williams killing himself. Listen, people can put up, they can fake it. They can fake you out. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe 1 in 1,000, seriously, I mean, if there's someone who's truly disturbed, I think we already have the laws in place where that guy's not going to get a gun. Like, with the current background checks, I feel pretty safe in that system, where a truly, straight-up lunatic is not going to be able to get a gun. But for a lot of these kids and people, they're just going to be able to go and just fake their way through. They can just tell, I don't think they're walking in to gun show. I'm here for the gun show loophole. Quiet. My dog tells me what to do. What? The cat told me.
There isn't even a gun show loophole. If they're getting guns illegally, they're doing them through straw purchases. It's really that simple. And straw purchases are the least prosecuted crimes in the country.
I tell you, here's my other advice. Here's my other advice for Cocaine Mitch and Donald Trump. Let's pretend there is a gun show loophole. Seriously, just because it's already, that catchphrase is already out there, and you can go up and give a speech and we did it. We closed the gun hole loophole. Just go back to the existing law and change a comma, so you can actually say you did something. But just then you can say, hey, we fixed it.
If you are a licensed dealer, you have to do a background check. Yes, even at a gun show. And the vast majority of dealers at gun shows are federally licensed. And if you're going to do a private sale, those are governed by state law.
Yeah.
So it might be easier to do a private sale in Georgia than it is in Illinois. But we don't have a bunch of kooks running around killing people in downtown Atlanta through private sales. It's generally straw purchases, or just straight up illegal purchase of a gun from a non-licensed dealer.
Well, let's just pretend that's my political advice is. Pretend okay, we'll go with you. Hey, you guys, we did it. We closed the gun show loophole. We did it. We went back in there. We looked around, and we closed it. So that'll be something. You'll be able to sleep easy, America.
Right.
Here's a little only on the Loftus Party thing. This is crazy. I really like this. I really like this Tom Fitton guy from the old Judicial Watch.
I like how effective they are at getting the documents. Sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, but there has to be follow-up. There has to be follow. Yeah, they get these documents and they expose this stuff, and then could someone please follow up? I did a video on the YouTube channel. I turned into Chris Walken there for a second. I did a video on the YouTube channel. I think it was the title, does anybody ever get in trouble, or does anybody ever get to go to jail?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that later today. That's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. But check this out. Judicial Watch, and these guys, there's an article about it in the National Review. They tallied up the amount of voters, who voted in all the U.S. counties. And this is crazy. The United States has 3.5 million more registered voters than live adults.
Awesome.
That's not good.
Oh, I know it's not good.
California
mistakenly registered 85,000 people who were ineligible to vote through their voter motor program.
Oh, California's the worst. They say California's the worst. And then I think it's very funny that they always Hillary won the popular vote. She won it by 3 million. It could very well be. I think we just found them. They're
not
dead
only
ghost voters.
It was I've been told from by people from New Hampshire that it was ripe in New Hampshire because there's a lot of people that live, like, have a summer home in New Hampshire but live in Massachusetts. They voted in both places, and New Hampshire knows this, and they just did nothing about it.
It's too funny, and for all the people, and this is going to sound hacky as well, but for all the people on the left who are worried about, you know, Russia hacking the election, I hope you're supporting voter ID laws. Listen, that anybody fights voter ID laws, that anybody fights the idea that you go into the polling place and have to show your driver's license to prove that you are who you say you are, I cannot believe that. That to me is like un-American. It's un-American. Dang it, that you would be against it. Holy smokes.
You need an ID to get a six-pack of beer. I just don't understand why all these people are running around without them.
Yeah. Oh, I just remembered. On Tucker Carlson, I was talking about plastic straws. Woo! The old brain's
just
still working.
Just plastic straws?
Yeah. McDonald's is going back to these paper straws. They're all in the UK and Europe. That's all it is. It's paper straws now. And they claim that they can't recycle them.
Yeah,
they
I know.
They can recycle the old plastic ones, but they can't recycle the new paper ones. Because something about the thickness of the straw. I think it's ridiculous. But I just, I had to remember that because I thought I was going crazy. Like, wow, I can't remember what I was talking about on Tucker Carlson. Whew, but yeah, voter ID laws. I'm all in favor. What say you? Go ahead, caller. That was very radio of me. Okay,
This caller already has voter ID in her state and will be very upset if it goes away.
Yeah, it's. I know that they always try to say it's about voter suppression and all that stuff, and people can't get to the place to get them the ID. And
really,
I know
that's just a lie, but.
It's like a racist lie, too. Black people can't work the bus? What?
In Georgia, you give your ID, they scan it through, they give you a card that you plug into a flat screen system, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all, those machines can be hacked. No, they can't. They're not attached to a network. The information literally goes to a hard drive, which is then taken to the elections office. It's not attached to the internet. Oh my God. And I don't care if you want to do paper ballot backup. That's fine. That's fine. But I've never been so irritated as that Mitch McConnell won't even look at our election security law. That's not an election security law. That's to make the entire country California. That's why he's not looking at it.
Yeah. It's, and
that
whole thing.
Care if the Russians hack us.
Moscow, Mitch. Moscow Mitch.
Moscow Mitch Massacre Mitch. Yeah. But they suspended. Did you see they suspended Mitch McConnell's campaign account when they showed the video of those crazy people outside of his house, like wishing him dead and hoping somebody would hurt him?
That was so depressing. That was so.
First of all, that was so depressing, but that was so stupid. Hi, Twitter. Don't show your bias, really. Because that wasn't newsworthy.
Yeah, everyone now it's commonly accepted. This goes back to the Jeffrey Epstein thing. Like, how can you argue that Twitter isn't like just a liberal agenda social media platform? You can't. When they do that, seriously, man. And this is what, and it makes me sad. It makes me sad. Also, I'm still going to stay active and do stuff and actively try to promote other, you know, sites and platforms and all that other stuff. But it's just, it's pathetic, man. You got a guy. Now, let's say you cannot stand Mitch McConnell and you're going to actively support whoever's running against him. Here you have, here you have a guy that, I didn't realize this. I found this out like a few months ago. I didn't know he had polio as a kid. So he had polio, and he's not getting any younger. So just walking around is a bit. It's going to be a bit of a challenge. Like, I remember he tripped a couple months ago, and some moron on Twitter is like, "Hey, he fell down." It's like, man, that guy battled polio as a kid. The fact that
he was five.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's like. That's heroic, man. That's heroic. Take the politics out of it. And then you got a guy, so he fell. He fell and he broke his shoulder. And to have people surrounding his house saying the things that they were saying. First of all, that they know where he lives and they're out. That's scary. That's scary
to
me.
Well, that they just feel they should show up outside people's houses now is the scary part to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for his campaign, they tweeted it out like, look at the threats of physical violence against this older statesman, and then to have Twitter get rid of their account. Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
Well, and they locked Ryan Saavedra from the Daily Wire too.
And then here's what
he tweeted the video.
And listen, this is my beef with the GOP, and it's really why I started one of the reasons I started the Loftus Party and to try to, you know, pump some fresh blood into the right, their solution to this. The RNC goes out on Fox the next day and they're like, so we are no longer going to buy ads on Twitter. Oh, that'll solve it. That'll solve it. Listen, here's a little heads up for the GOP, and there's a bunch of other big entities that have done this. Okay, so you don't spend as much money. I can see you not wanting to pump, but it's not about the money with Twitter. It's not about the money with Facebook. It's not about the money with Google and YouTube. They're making boatloads of money. And now that, the RNC, we're not going to give them our $50 a week. Like, wow, that's really going to hurt them. That's really going to hurt. It's not going to make a difference. It's not about the money. It's about winning the argument in the culture wars. That's all it's about. It's about politics and nothing more. So you're like, we're going to take our ball and go home. Well, now you've just made it worse. You've actively made it worse because now your voice is not going to be heard as much. That is not the solution. And this is the road that I went down, and I'll bring it up again. And it's why I'm out doing the live shows now that I want to talk about before we go too much further. But it's like I present a television show idea to Amazon, and they're like, this is great. This would be awesome. This would be a huge hit. We're not going to put it on because we can't afford to look friendly to the right. Four mm-hmm. different outlets. So it's not about the money, you guys. People, that's old thinking. That's the thinking from the 1970s. Oh, money talks. Money talk. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. This mm-hmm. is a different breed. Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey and the people who run Google, it's a different breed of animal. They're younger and they think they have the moral high ground and they're getting plenty of money from other resources. So still participate, but you're going to have to be on more than one platform, right? Do Twitter and also do Parler, do YouTube, but also do Vimeo, do Clout Hub.
Yes, I will actually be exiting Twitter here in a couple months.
Well, I would keep your account and keep it a little active. I'd tweet once or twice. It's a tempest.
I am kinda to the point that Instapundit got to. Why am I going to keep giving this platform that hates me free content when all they do is take my followers away, suppress my tweets, and treat people who think like I think like we're somehow immoral and defective? I have no interest in helping a company like that anymore.
I tell you, I have had to, man, Facebook is getting bad. Really bad.
Mm-hmm.
With just the most outrageous accusations, and just you see people just piling on, and thank God these people don't have pitchforks, because they would be out, a giant mob of people with pitchforks.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I mean, just today they locked Nick Searcy's account, friend of the show,
really,
for tweeting out a Rush Limbaugh article where Rush had quoted him.
Oh, I saw that Nick retweeted something last night. He goes, I'm going to retweet this because the first time they locked me out of my account for 24 hours, but here we go again. They must have jacked him up second time.
Yeah,
oh
no,
my
for
gosh.
3 days. So, I mean, like, if you stop and think about what these companies actually do, This is why I use the Brave browser with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo can't have my cookies if I'm using Brave because Brave doesn't allow cookies. Right?
No one can have your cookies.
No one gets these cookies.
I think there's only one man that gets that cookie, and that's Miss Gypsy.
That would be true. Anyway, but so they, like, I know DuckDuckGo has been accused of selling users' cookies over to Google. That doesn't happen inside the browser I use. Okay.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, they collect an immense amount of personal data on you. They listen to you through your assistants.
Robot lady.
Robot lady. That's why I don't have a robot lady. They like literally basically give you a social colonoscopy. They keep track of who you talk to, when you talk to them, what you talk to them about. And then they still can't place ads in my timeline that I actually care about, which I find rather funny. But they treat you like the commodity, and they hate you. So why are you going to let them make money off you?
Yeah.
Legit where I'm at.
Listen, I'm all about slowly removing myself from.
Yeah, no, it'll be gradual. But Parler collects all the same data.
Yeah.
That Facebook and Twitter do, right? Yeah. I haven't gone to my account on there since they put out their new privacy policy, which was actually worse than their old one. So I'm not going to play on there. I refuse to play on Gab. MeWe is just like a dating site for like horny anonymous people. I'm serious. It's like gross. Like there's nothing in my profile that would make you think I want that picture.
That's always funny to me. That always just cracks me up.
I know, but to me it's just stupid. But whatever.
Parler,
they actually
needs to
put some study out and was like, men who send dick pics are more narcissistic and actually send them because they would like pictures in return. I'm like, somebody spent money on this study.
Yeah. Those studies are always hilarious. They're always hilarious and good. It's like we've talked about it on the show. There was some liberal woman up in the San Francisco or the Bay Area who did a study about unsolicited dick pics.
Yeah,
and hilariously, she's like, I wonder how the guys would like it. So she started sending unsolicited vag pics to dudes. And they all loved it.
They're all fine with it.
Finally, it worked. Okay. Before I go any further, you guys have to go to Trump2020pouches.com. Trump2020pouches. These things are amazing. I've been using mine. I got like four of them around the house in various spots. It's incredible. It's completely natural. Here's the problem. There's all these gun safes in America. I think there's like 73 million gun safes, and humidity is a real issue. You don't want your firearm to get ruined with rust. You don't want your ammo to become, you don't want to get wet. Keep your powder dry. And these Trump pouches are amazing. It is all natural product, pet friendly, all that good stuff. I've got one in the bathroom. I've got one by my laundry hamper. That my kids, whoo, got one by their shoes. That's a good place to put it. So, and then the other thing is, for if you put MAGA in the code MAGA, you're gonna get a free one. I think you buy three, you're gonna get that fourth one for free. So that's fantastic. And a buck from every purchase is gonna go to the Trump reelection campaign. Holy smoke! So that's a good thing. All right. So now we're talking about guns. We're talking about keeping your guns safe. We're talking about keeping your guns dry. I had my first faux pas, I believe, over at Fox News.
Uh-oh.
Yes. They called me up and they asked if I would come in on Fox and Friends and talk about this new movie, The Hunt. It's about where supposedly a bunch of deplorables are rounded up and then they're being hunted by the liberal elitists. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's my problem, because this is just the way I write. This is the way I create. especially when I'm writing scripts or whatever. It's like, what if this was real? What if this was real? That's like, it works in every movie. If you're a writer out there and you're trying to write fiction, you have to really start from the point of, well, what if this was real? So that's where I started writing my little bits about the hunt, right? What if this was real? And it made me laugh. It really made me laugh. And then I watched the trailer. I watched the trailer, and the first thing that have you seen the trailer for The Hunt?
I have not, but I saw like the trailer for The Purge when I was watching another movie, and I just thought it was disgusting.
It's the same people who did The Purge. So
yeah, no, I know it's the same people, and I was so offended by that I just, no, thank you. I wouldn't go see the movie anyway, so.
I've not seen The Purge. I had no plans to see The Hunt, but it just tickled me. I'm sorry, you guys. I found it so funny. In the trailer for The Hunt, it starts off with this woman. She's using a really thick Southern accent, and she's like in a gas station, and there's an older man and an older woman behind the counter. And she's like, hey, where am I? And they're like, darling, people usually know where they are. She's like, no, where am I? What state? And then the old man behind the counter goes, well, you're in the great state of Arkansas. And the hillbilly girl doesn't skip a beat. She leaps across the counter, punches the old lady in the face, knees her in the head, takes her to the ground. The old guy grabs a shotgun. She smacks it out of his hand and blows him away. Just like, boom, just like, 1, 2, 3, bang, Bob's your uncle. And then the guy goes, how'd you know they were lying? And then they cut to her out in the parking lot, and she takes off the fake license plate to reveal a European license plate hidden beneath it. So already I know the whole movie. I know the whole movie as a writer. So these liberal elitists, they gather up a bunch of deplorable Trump supporters, and they hunt them, and they hunt them. But this time they picked the wrong girl. She's like Rambo. And it cracked me up. It cracked me up. I guess I'm supposed to be outraged by this, but I really wasn't. And then I start thinking, like, what if this was real? If this, seriously, in a battle of rednecks versus a bunch of liberals from the East Hamptons, I'm like, this is going to be a short movie. This is going to be a very short movie. I could not stop giggling about it. It was just so, like, can you imagine? Like Larry the Cable Guy versus Alyssa Milano, I don't care. He's going to win that fight every time. I just thought it was the funniest thing. So I'm on Fox and Friends, and we're talking about it, and I'm laughing. I'm doing my little jokes. It's like Larry the Cable Guy versus Alyssa Milano, and Hegseth is laughing, and Kilmeade is laughing. And then Ainsley Earhart, who's like the nicest person on planet Earth, She goes, but Michael, don't you think the timing's really bad? Like, and then she got like really, like, I think she was really offended by it. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, the timing of it is bad. But like, I'm not that offended by the movie. I'm really not. And the thing is, I don't think a lot of people saw the trailer that like the Trump supporter woman is like Rambo. She's going to kill them all. Yes, we are going to lose some deplorables, but like ultimately the hillbillies win. Hillbillies win. I'm surprised that Universal pulled it. I'm really surprised
Here's actually the thing that bothers me, because
okay.
I get like maybe that girl, just like in every horror movie, some girl makes it through, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The idea that there's a dude out in Hollywood cosplaying this whole thing in his head is what bothers me. That somehow in the United States of America, we would have a guy conceptualizing a movie called Red State versus Blue State, because that's what it was originally called.
Yeah.
That is very disturbing to me, and that doesn't feel like we are all part of the same country anymore, and that's what bugs me.
Well, it's and this is the way I really feel about it. Like, you could do so. What's the flip of this movie? The flip of this movie is a bunch of rednecks capture some liberals and they hunt them. That's going to be a boring movie because no one gets out alive. But then I'm thinking, like, isn't that kind of Deliverance? Isn't that what Deliverance was? A bunch of elitist city boys invade hillbilly country, and then the hillbillies start hunting them. I mean, it's like the movie. It's in a weird way that the flip of the movie's already been made. But like, and then I don't even want to go down the rabbit hole of if you make this movie, there is a chance that people will copy it and do something bad. That's really, listen, I think it's...
We're already in Punch a Nazi. They already beat the living tar out of a gay Asian independent reporter on camera, and no arrests have been made. So,
and that's, yeah, seriously, and that's the other point I was trying to make on Fox and Friends. I'm like, this is actually a very good metaphor for how demonized, mm-hmm, what the left has done to the right. I mean, seriously, there are people on Facebook. I know it. I know it. These are friends of mine. And then there's people who've known me for 20, 30 years who are now like, I guess Mike's a racist. Like, which is just the most ridiculous thing ever. But mm-hmm, that's the bombardment. The bombardment from the left is, okay, you're all neo-Nazis, you're all racists, all of you, and they literally, Donnie Deutsch literally said it on MSNBC, if you support Trump now, you're part of the problem, you're a Nazi too, you're a racist too. So we have been demonized, and like,
I here's heard my,
with the hunt, they tried to wrap themselves up in, oh, it's satire. Well, you need more jokes, man. If that thing would have had more jokes, they could have released it and made an absolute fortune.
Well, and so Selena Zito is one of my favorite journalists. I think, mm-hmm, she really tries to be very objective in her reporting, and a lot of people don't like it because when she's objective, she tells them things they don't want to hear, which she did all through the 2016 election, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was on Larry O'Connor's show, and she said in the appendix of her book, and I didn't look it up, but I believe 34% of people who voted for Trump in 2016 did not tell their family, did not tell their coworkers, and made no public admissions of it. Do you think that number's going up or down?
I really don't know at this point. I really can't give. I want to think the number's going
up. I know
at
least personally, in my personal life, to include myself, I know at least a dozen people who did not vote for him in 2016 who will in 2020.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? So I'm going to change my answer. I think that number is going up because I had to think about it. These are people who won't publicly admit they're going to vote for Trump, but they will do it in private. Oh, yeah. That number's got to be skyrocketing.
Pollster calls you on the phone. Do you think the president's doing a good job? Are you going to put your name on that list?
Woo! I don't like when they get the lists involved, when they get the lists.
But you don't know who the polling firm is working for. You don't know. So why, when you just watch what Joaquin Castro did earlier this week, why would you, in any kind of publicly discoverable way, say, this is what I'm doing, or this is who I support?
Well, it's wild, but that backfired magnificently.
Oh, it did.
That backfired magnificently.
And if Democrats had a shred of civility, his political career would be over.
And it's wonderful to see this guy that he's like a partial shareholder in like Equinox and SoulCycle. Mm-hmm. They outed that guy and like, get out of your gym membership because that guy supports. And he's like, hey, I support whoever I support. That's my business. That dude's standing up. That mm-hmm. dude's a new hero. And that's all that needs to happen is that people need to keep standing up to the bullies in the mainstream media and all that other stuff. You guys, this one went by so fast. This was an action-packed podcast. I want to say this before we go. The clampdown is on. The clampdown is definitely on across the board. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, blah, blah, blah. I appreciate you guys sharing the videos and on Facebook and on YouTube. That's really all we got is each other. Keep sharing those videos. Talk to your friends and participate. keep posting stuff at theloftusparty.com. We're not going to give you the Twitter clamp down. We got a guy, Benny the Joke Man, who's doing jokes every day. We still got Gloria. She's doing recipes. I'm doing stuff. Paul's doing stuff. Crystal, it's great. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited. I know it's a little bit of a hassle to sign in and make an account, but it'll take you 30 seconds. Then you're in. And we're going to be adding dates. We're adding some dates for, we're calling it the MAGA Country Comedy. We're staring into the curve. That's what we're calling it. Cause it's funny. It's funny. Cause the whole thing is ridiculous. We're going to be in, September 25th. The dates are at theloftusparty.com. It's like, 25, 26, 27, I want to say. But the dates are at the website. It's Des Moines, Kansas City, Omaha, and you never know who's going to show up in Omaha. And Chad Prather. This guy is super funny. He's a great stand-up. You guys know who Chad Prather is. He's all over Facebook and YouTube. He's got a gig over at The Blaze. He's going to be joining us for these shows. We're going to be in Texas in October. We're going to be in Houston, Dallas. We're going to do another show there in October. We're also going to be, as it stands right now, filming a comedy special. I will announce that on next week's show. It looks like we're probably going to film that in Southern California. We might do it in Texas, but it might be here in Southern California just because of the technology involved and trucks and lighting and stuff like that, but it's super exciting. So Chad Prather is going to be doing a bunch of these shows with us. So it's now it's myself, it's Brian Hayner, Reno Collier, who's just hilarious, Chad Prather, who's just hilarious. It's already a good show. Boom, we're taking it to the next level. We're going to be going to New York State and doing shows. We're going to be going back to Florida in December. We're just getting it all straightened away. It's a big thing to do. I'm not the most organized person in the world. And we're trying to organize. I like how you, the knowing laugh from the So we're trying to organize a tour.
Don't say.
You don't say. So make sure you're going to loftusparty.com and you're checking the tour dates. So it's a lot of fun. You guys are making it happen. It's all wonderful. Thanks to our Patreons. I never thank the Patreons enough. We got some people, and listen, that money is being used for good purposes. So if you're thinking about the and Patreon, you don't have to. It's not like $100 a month. Do $1 a month. Do $2 a month. It's simple. It's easy. All right, you guys. A great show. A fun show. Thanks for supporting the site and all our social media platforms. Tell your friends, and we will see you all next week.